Well, I am really enjoying the book of Ruth. How about the rest of you? There's so many passionate swings and tones in the book that really just get right down to the heart of the matter. Amen? Tonight, I want us to consider three wise building blocks. I'm going to start reading. If you want to follow along, just listen, if you will. Because we're going to start in the book of Genesis, but I want to read Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Good thing it's not in our hands, right? It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, or behold, children are an inheritance or a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What is a full quiver? Anybody know? I think it's seven. Or a hunter or what?
Or a warrior.
And what is the quiver then, Gregory? A novelist like myself? Okay. So 7 or 12, depending on what you're... Thank you. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What does that mean? In the course of business, in the place where they came into the gate, the business was there. If we teach our children the truths of the Word of God, they won't have to be ashamed in conversation in the gate. The commerce, the place of business. However, if they choose not to serve the Lord, then they will be ashamed, particularly if we have taught them that is the Lord is the one who will build the house. What do you mean the Lord is the one who will build the house? You mean somebody's going to get a new house and the Lord's going to build it? We're talking about the spiritual house. The spiritual house. So tonight, I want us to look at three wise building blocks. And you're going to need these again and again. And again, gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to you right now, dear Lord, to see the truth and to rest upon it. We want to build our lives on what you say, Lord Jesus, and not the opinions of the shifting culture, sinking sand. So, Lord, take over our hearts and minds, renew us, strengthen us, build us up as only you can do. Enable me by your Spirit to share the word of truth and love, to exhort, to encourage the people, to build them up, to cause them, dear Lord, by your Spirit to go forward in the things of God and to be confident on what you've said, what you are doing, and what you will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I remember these wood blocks that I used to have for building, and we really enjoyed these. And they were all different shapes. This was for the day of video games. Anybody remember those days? Anybody remember a day when the phone hung on the wall? That thing's ringing off the wall. Young people don't even know what that means now. But it's ringing off the hook. Well, with all the cell phones and things going on today, they're really not cell phones. They're small computers that have a phone in them. You're aware of that, aren't you? Yes or no? Yeah, when I can communicate with the world, that's not just a cell phone. That's a... satellite communication, I can find you by my phone type of thing. That's great. Good stuff. Wonderful technology when used in the right way. But I remember these wood blocks, you know, and they were made out of real wood. Anybody remember that? When the blocks were made out of real wood. I think these are still around. I think I saw some on eBay or something like that for sale. We may even have some left. Do we still have those, Laurie? We have a white, we did have, I guess, last time I saw them, it's a white knapsack, and all these, I don't know if we have all the logs yet, but Laurie uses them in children's ministries and stuff. And I remember the arching one and the smooth one that looked like a column, you know, and the square ones, different shapes. And you get to learn all your shapes, you know, by those blocks. So from a little guy, you could enjoy building things. And then the other toy that I, boy, you're going back in time here, aren't you, Pastor Long? Hey, that's all right. A little nostalgia doesn't hurt anyone. Jonathan, did you have building blocks when you were, was that Pastor? You still use those too? Did you, not now, but I mean, did you in the past? You might bring those back out now because the little ones, you know. But did you have those when you were a kid? I wonder how far that he's. Did you too, Josh, or was it past your? You had, yeah, Legos came in. Legos. Let go of my ego, no Lego. How many of you remember the commercial, Let Go of My Lego? Don't, yeah.
Lego Waffles.
Lego Waffles. See, great. Boy, you're really old. That's really something. Junk Food USA. We're still eating that processed stuff, and we're still here. It's a miracle, isn't it? That syrup's good on there, that's for sure. Let's just move on before we lose this message tonight. But anyway, Lincoln Logs. How many remember Lincoln Logs? Okay, I was more familiar with that. Well, I used to love those Lincoln Logs. Build your own log cabin out of, you know, and the different shapes and things. I really enjoyed it. So there's something in our nature that enjoys building something. And we want to build something that what? Tell me.
That
lasts. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. And we'll actually conclude the message with that. Tonight's title is Three Wise Building Blocks. And like I said, you're going to need these over and over again, especially in our culture. Don't back down from them. Don't move around from them. Rest on them. Let me say that again. Don't back down from them. Don't move around from them, trying to get around the issue, but rest on them. If you rest on them, you're going to be persecuted in this culture. I'll go ahead and tell you. The first one is in Genesis chapter 1. Building blocks for the spiritual life. We are living in a culture that promotes perversity, unfortunately, as a normal thing. What used to be limited to the psychiatric ward is now promoted. That is a shame. What used to get people secluded and locked up for the good of society now is paraded on the streets. This is a dangerous time that we live in. But the Lord will be with us. He wants us to be faithful. And that's just another area in which we will be tested. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Can you read it out loud with me? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if you don't believe the first verse, you're in trouble, right? Don't even believe the first verse, some people. Evolutionists, we're actually evolved animals. That's a lie from Satan. We're created in the image of God, and we're created for God's glory. But look at verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Apart from the animal creation, God created man. And here's what he says about man. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us, because God is three persons. That's why he said, let us. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So who's supposed to have dominion? Some forming mice in an area that takes over a city? And we don't want to hurt them because that's the last leg of the strain of that. Or is it man to have the dominion? Which one? Animals are not to have the dominion. Anywhere. Man is. So let's go on. Over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That settles that. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female. What'd you say, Pastor Long? Can you read that out loud with me? Male and female created he them. So folks, the building block number one is that God created me for his own glory, and he created me either a male or a female, and you better not back down from it. Amen? That's the way it is. Where did God do it? Go to Psalm 139. You better have these things. You're going to need them. Teach them to your children as fast as you can. Because when they hear false things, they'll have to override the teaching if they go that route. I'll just tell you. Psalm 139, 14 through 16. Psalm 139. And verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That means apart from the animal kingdom. We're different than the animal kingdom. Okay? Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Anybody ever been in awe of God? Anybody ever been in awe of God? Well, here are some things that ought to put you in awe of God. Verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And here he means the mother's womb. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, and yet being unperfect, that's embryo. And in thy book, all my members were written. So God is determining all the members of your body, your skin color, your eye color, your hands, your feet, your face, your body, male or female. It's a work of God. Everybody is a work of God. Therefore, you can have respect for any human being, even if they just in stark contrast to you, or arguing with you, or blaspheming God, you can still have respect for them. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. That's why. So verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet when as yet there was none of them. They weren't there in one moment, and the next moment they were. That's creation. They were not there in one moment, and in the next moment they were. That's creation. God has chosen to do it that way with a male and a female. Two men, I hate to say, can't have a baby, and neither can two women. And that's by God's design. All God's people say, amen. Amen. So there it is. And then how precious, if you just think that you want to honor God, that he made you a male or a female, you will begin to think how precious it is that God chose to create you in your mother's womb, how he wanted you to be in order to bring him glory. That's where you got to go back to. In Isaiah 43, we see that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. God created us. God created Israel. And God recreates believing sinners to be his children. In other words, you must be born again, recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does that say? Well, let's go find out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I can quote it. We're going to read it. I'm taking my sweet time getting there. And now I'm there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It tells us. Lick the fingers if you need to. No problem. Thelma needs a little help. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17, what's it say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or creation is the word. He's a new creation. That means spiritually. Old things are passed away. There's a point in time and they keep on passing away. Behold, all things are become new. Newborn changes things. New birth changes things too. So the very first building block I want us to see is that God created me, personalize it, God created me for His own glory. Good witnessing tool. You know what? God created you for His own glory. Then the second building block is that God loves me. Galatians 2:20. Jesus loved me and He gave Himself for me. Anybody here ever done any sign language? I know a little bit, not much, just enough to get me in trouble. But here is a sign for God. The palm's not facing your face. Put your hand up, not over your face, but to the side. This is God. And then, like an M, you know, like M&Ms, make an M forward, and that's create. So God created me. And then here's the sign for glory. You stick up your hand for God. And then you take your left hand and ram it in like a T right into your hand and pull it back like a little fish coming out of the water. And that's the sign for glory. God, glory. Isn't that beautiful? Next time I see Mrs. Walters, I'm going to be doing this. God's glory. So God created me for His own glory. He certainly did. Then we look at John 3:16. Very familiar, but sometimes things are so familiar that you lose the power of them. I tell you what, that one verse, so powerful, John 3:16. And we're talking about the fact that God loves us. If we ever doubt the love of God, we've got to go back to the cross. We've got to go back to the sacrifice. We've got to go back to what He did for us. As I've said many times in messages, this is the very first thing Satan will attack while you're being tested. The very first thing that Satan will attack in your heart and mind because you're in some trouble some way. God must not love me or this will not be happening. And that's a lie from Satan. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does the word begotten mean? It means He was the only one that was caused to be born in that fashion. The only one caused to be born in that fashion. He was born of a virgin. Only one, the only one that ever happened to. So, do you believe that God can create something out of nothing? He just speaks and it comes into existence? Well, if you believe that, why is it so hard to believe that He created a body for Himself in a virgin's womb? Not hard for me to believe at all. One of the reasons why we had to pull out of the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, and most of us became independents because of that, because schools like Colgate, which our Southern Baptist Convention was supporting, began to teach that, the miracles, educated people don't have to have miraculous things. We know we can just follow the teaching of Jesus, a good moral person, but having to be resurrected from the dead, that's just not so. Listen, folks, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, we're all dying and going to hell. But He did resurrect from the dead. And so that's when all these separations and pulling out and things started to happen because we can't co-op, bring our money in, and support that. However, I do know in recent years there's been a revival there. And they started weeding out people like that, which is good. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why in the world are you preaching the Bible? Oh, well, that's another message. We're just going to stick with this one tonight. So, building block number one. How about these chairs over here? Here's building. We'll just call this a building block right here. Building block number one is what? God created me for His own glory. And He created me in my mother's womb. He created me either a male or a female. Building block number one. Nice hymn we have here. That back there. Building block number two, which will always be attacked in the time of testing and trial, is that God loves me. He proved that he loved me by sending his son to die on a cross for me. That proves he loves me. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. That's how you know if somebody really loves you, by the way. They love you, and they'll give themselves for you. That's love. That's Jesus Christ. Okay, God created me in his own image, male and female. Created for what? His own glory. And number two, what? God loves me. The very first thing that'll be attacked. And then we're going to get to building block number three here soon enough. I'll show it to you in just a minute. Spiritual building block. Building block number three is also found in John 3:16. And that is, God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins so I could live with him forever. That's right. God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins so I could live with him forever. That's what everlasting life means. That means that God wants a relationship with me forever, and a good one too. Everlasting life. Now, does that put you in awe? That God wants to be in a relationship, a right relationship with you forever. That puts me in awe. I mean, normally you like people who like you, right? But Jesus died for us while we were sinning against him. That's really love, isn't it? He wasn't waiting for us to get good to accept us. He was willing to accept us just as I am. Of course, he does want us to turn from sin, repent of sin. And as we go on in the Christian life and realize things are sin against God, we need to turn away from them as a process of life. And we learn of the character of God as we keep on looking into the Word of God and are transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Go to John 17. So the third building block is, God sent his son to die on a cross for my sins so I could live with him forever. John 17. We'll just pull this third block up here now. Three building blocks. We're going to need the rest of our life. John 17, starting in verse 20. And going through verse 24, John 17, 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What do you call that? You call that evangelism. If you keep witnessing and keep giving out the word, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody will get saved. Yes or no? Somebody will eventually get saved. And folks, you know, what did we give out? Nearly 10,000 gospel tracts here recently. I was talking to one of my buddies. He said, how many people you got in that church? I said, I think maybe like, I hadn't counted them in a while, but maybe 125 to 150. Anybody even know? I got to look at the directory. One, two, three. Something like this, right? But he said, you mean you got 40-some people working on evangelism on one event? He said, oh, man, we can't scrape two or three people together in our church. I said, it's just the work of God. We've been doing it for a long time. Some people work in the parking lot. Some people work in this street. Some people work in the back roads. Some people working, people walking down to actually be in the parade. I said, it's some people taking them to Little League, some people taking them to the businesses. He said, what can I do to get my people doing stuff like that? I said, I don't honestly know. I just say pray and put a project out there and see who shows up. That's what we do. Who wants to come? Come on. But I said, everybody's actually involved. If you give, you're involved. Why? Because we paid out of the church's money is to buy those gospel tracts. So I like that too, don't you? So we all receive a reward for these type of things. But in John 17, 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through let's put it, your word, that they may be one, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. We're talking about union here now, communion, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. By the way, he's speaking to God as his Father in his humanity. And that's why he's trying to say, I want you to join me in this union of being a child of the Father. It's beyond my comprehension, but I want you to experience the same relationship that I'm having. That's what Jesus is saying. That gives me spiritual goosebumps, whatever that is. Amen? I want you to have the same relationship that I'm having as God being my Father while I'm walking on the earth. This is good stuff. This is the truth. I love the truth. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me. Notice the union, the fellowship, the communion. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, evangelism, may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Same manner. Father, here's my strong, impassioned desire. That's the word will. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. See? Jesus wants us to be right where he is. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So, the third building block is that God sent his Son to die on a cross for my sins so I could live with him forever. All right, what are the building blocks again? First one is God created me for his own glory. What's the second building block? The one Satan loves to... He attacks this one now, by the way, in our culture, doesn't he? You get to be 3, 4, 5, you can decide whether you want to be a boy or a girl. They're teaching that in our public schools. That's perversity. That's blasphemy if God is our creator. That's animalistic. Second thing, and those who don't understand creation have a lot of trouble here. They're so confused. How can God express love to me? Well, he loves us because he wants to glorify his name. He loves us while we were sinning against him. It's not based on our merit. It's based upon the merit of his Son, which brings us to the third building block. God created me for his own glory. What's this one? God loves me personally. And then the third one is he gave himself on the cross for my sins so he could have a relationship with me forever. Not a temporary one, an eternal one. These are three building blocks. You're going to need them again and again and again. You're going to return to these again and again. We must remember, as one theologian said, that Christianity is the evidence that the living God, our loving God, Creator and Father, desires communion or fellowship with his children. He desires it. Now go to Matthew chapter 7. I could have started here, but I didn't. We will conclude here. One illustration, and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 7. Three wise building blocks. God created me for his own glory. God loves me, and God sent his Son to die on a cross for my sins so I could live with him forever. Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? Wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. Guess what happens to believers at times? Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. The result, however, and it fell not. Why did it not fall? For it was founded upon a rock. The rock is Jesus. We're talking about building a spiritual house. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, because they don't believe what Jesus has said, shall be likened unto a what? Foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, the shifting sands of human opinion. Verse 27, troubles come unto him too, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, that spiritual house, and what happened to it? And it fell, and great was the fall of it. I felt so lost for words today, but I just prayed, Lord, please help me. I remember the man's name because Harold, his name is Harold. You saw me talking to him today. I've never seen him before, but he came. I guess he's maybe 50s. You've seen him a couple times, Harold? Okay. That's the first time I ever saw him that I remember. He said he'd been one time before, but or maybe a couple, but I don't know. But anyways, that's the first time I actually talked to him. And he said, I'm just ruined. My house is ruined. And I want you to pray for him. This isn't public gossiping. I want you to pray for him. I'm on my second wife now, he says. I ruined the first one by being unfaithful. I ruined the second one when she's unfaithful. I'm like, phew. The people are watching me at my job like some hound dog. And I'm not even sure life is worth living anymore. And I could tell he had a little bit of Catholic background. He said, I would kill myself, but I know that sends you to hell. That's Catholicism. And by the way, that's a lie. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus wants us to build wisely. We don't build our life on the foolishness of popular opinion of the unredeemed damned. Wow. Listen to that. Don't build your life on the foolish or popular opinion of the unredeemed damned in a culture. Don't do it. That would be foolish. You're going to need these three building blocks again. Tell me what they are. I need all the help I can get. I get old and I start forgetting stuff. Anybody start forgetting stuff? I forget what this first one is again. My wife's like, don't pull that ploy. Everybody knows what you're doing. Please help me with the first one. God what? God created me for his own glory. How did he create me? Either a... Where did he create me? Very good. Boy, what an educated group we have here tonight. It's so wonderful. Second building block in my life? God loves me. Wonderful. Where did you prove that, by the way? On the cross. And the third one is, God gave his son for me so he could have an eternal relationship with me. He wants me to be with him. How long? Forever. Now, here's what faith is. Oh, man, this is going to feel good. I tried to take a nap today, but I just couldn't. I don't know. Minnesota was losing, and I didn't get to watch any of it. So, Peg, I don't know, that's terrible. I just had a rough time. I usually take a nap, you know, on Sunday afternoon a little bit. Oh, this feels good on my back. I got to do this more often. It's one of my best sermon illustrations yet, I think. Wake me up when it's over, will you, Josh? Now, this is what faith is. I'm demonstrating faith. I've got my full weight on these three building blocks. That's what trust is. I'm resting on the truth of God. Got my full weight. I don't need to be leaning over the side, trusted in anything else, what people say. I want to rest in what God has said. Therefore, at night, just go to sleep and rest in God. Oh, yeah, that felt pretty good. Thought I might stay down a little bit longer. So why don't we conclude with, my faith has found a resting place. All right. Pastor Tom, come and lead us in that. My faith has found a resting place, will you?